Good morning. I'm Mike Cunningham. I'm one of the pastors here at Fellowship Bible Church, and I have the privilege of leading us through the next to the last section of 1 John, and Eric's going to land the plane next week. Before I get started, I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I've been studying learning styles in the last couple weeks, or last actually several months, for a couple of reasons. Turns out I'm weird. My wife's got a master's in learning disabilities, and she also has her undergraduate in that same deal, which prepared her to be my wife. And I used to collect baseball cards and stamps and stuff. Now I collect doctors. And I was at a doctor's appointment, and she was finishing a test, and she said, "You know, you're really complicated." And I told my wife that, and she just started laughing. She said, "I didn't need a doctor to tell me that." But the point is, I study these things, and I'm a combination of kinesthetic and visual. I like to take things apart, and I like to read, and that's not supposed to be the same thing. But I don't know if you've heard, my dad would send me out to mow the yard, and I'd take the lawnmower apart. And I'd do that so I could make it run faster, and I could cut the yard faster. But when I took it apart, sometimes there were parts left over when I put it back together again. Has that ever happened to anybody in here? I just figured that they didn't need those parts because it ran anyway, right? Well, I've taken this passage apart and put it back together again more times than I can count in the last several months. And we're going to do that today. We're going to take it apart and put it back together again and see what we find. My wife told me to tell you that. Again, she told me because I'm learning. Never mind. So I've been bouncing these ideas as I take this thing apart off all the staff, Eric and Brett and Josh and the rest of Janice, and they've given me input and feedback, so you blame them if it doesn't make sense. But at the end of this, there'll be a QR code like I give you every time. You can download all my work on this, and you can see if I've made it any sense. So before we get started, let me review where we've been. Back in October, we did an overview of 1 John. And the reason we do an overview in Bible study is not necessarily to get it all down and understand all the details. It's just to give us a feel for the book and an understanding of the context. So when we go through section by section and verse by verse, we don't take something out of context. That's the idea behind it. But as we do the study and we go through it section by section and verse by verse, our outline or our chart may change, and that certainly happened this time. It's 1 John this far. We did 1:1 through 2:2, and that stayed the same, but we fixed the typo in 2:2 to 2:3, and it went to 3:10. And then we figured out that had started at 3:11 with 3:24, and then 4:1 to 5:1 went to 4:1 to 5:4. And then 5:2 to 5:21 went to 5:4 to 5:21. And the reason 5:4 shows up twice is it ends up being a hinge verse between those two chapters. So we did this, and then when we went through the specifics, we first looked at 1 through 4, living in the light, and we ask you to know Jesus like John knew Jesus, share what you know about Jesus with somebody else, and make observations on 1 John 1:5. And then we talked about living your line, and we ask you to work through the passage in your quiet time, share what you're learning with somebody else, make observations on 1 John 2:3, and then share the results of that with me. And then Eric came back and talked about 2:3 through 17, knowing, doing, and not doing love, and he asked you to love and know God and his ways, live and according to who, what we've loved, and share those things with somebody else. And then he talked about 18 through 27, lies and deceptions are anointed truth. And he asked us to see the lies and deceptions, abide in the truth, trust God in both realms, and review 1 John 2:18 through 27 several times looking for applications. And then he talked about the two paths in 28 through 3:10, identify from the passage all the elements of the two paths, clearly understand the two paths, abide in Jesus, walk in his path, and reviewed 1 John 2:28 through 30, looking for applications. Then he took us through 3:11-24, how do you spell love, and asked us to abide in God, love others, know what you should know, correlate ways, and list ways to apply 1 John 3:18, and review 1 John 3:11-24 several times looking for application. You seen a pattern here? Okay. And then 2 weeks ago, John took us through 4:1-6, testing the spirits, and he asked us to know God's word, to be more discerning, spend time, quality time reading 1 John 4:1-6, looking for application, love others genuinely, and share the gospel with three different people. And then last week, Eric took us through 7:5-4, God's love in and through us, and he asked us to believe Jesus Christ, like John says, increasingly do the big three, love at least one person in deed and truth, list how the following verses are operating in your life. And today we're going to look at the testimony, 4-13, and next week, Eric's going to take us through 13-21. So you saw the pattern? We ask you to do things that John suggested in 1 John. And when we did that, we gave you passages to look at as you did those things. And the reason for that is if we're not in the Bible, we can't do what the Bible says. We've got to abide in the Bible in order to do what the Bible says. And that's what we were trying to do, give you something to look at while we were telling you to do stuff. Make sense? Okay. All right. We're going to read through the passage, and we're going to read through the ESV, but it's going to be different than what you see on your phone or your Bible because I retranslated some of it. And the reason for that is in your Bible, verses 5 and 6 are three sentences, but in the Greek, it's one sentence. So I made it one sentence, and I translated it differently. And then also, the word that's translated because in that first section is translated differently throughout the rest of the passage, and I just made it because all the way through. So if you open your Bibles to 1 John 5:4, we're going to read it together, and then we'll jump into the verse by verse. We're going to switch from the ESV in my translation to the NSV in my translation. And the reason we're doing that is in 6 months, I have been studying the NAS for 50 years. And I'm an old dog and don't like new tricks. So I'm not switching to the ESV to do Bible study. So I'm staying in the NAS. That's anyway. Never mind. Okay, so we're going to read it. Ready? 1 John 5:4-13, ESV plus me. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. But who is the one who overcomes the world, if not the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. But the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Because there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, because this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Father, we're grateful for you. We're grateful for your love. We're thankful that we can come before your presence without any sacrifice because your Son made that sacrifice for us. We're grateful that you sent him, that he lived, that he died, that he was buried and he was raised, and then now he sits at your right hand. He ascended there to intercede for us, and we're so grateful for that. We're thankful that when he ascended, you did not leave us alone, but you sent your Spirit to be with us, and then you gave us your word so we could get to know you better, get to know your Son better, get to know what your plan is better. And that, Father, we'd fall more deeply in love with you and that love would overflow into the lives of other people. So, Father, this morning as we are in your word, we pray that you'd open our eyes so we could behold wonderful things from it, that you'd lead us through it, and that you'd help us to apply it. You'd help us to fall more deeply in love with you and more deeply in love with your Son, and that love would overflow in the lives of other people as well. We ask these things for your glory in Christ's name. Amen. When you see that, what do you think of? Nike, right? Or just do it, right? Well, Nike, okay? The word comes from the Greek Nike. It's a Greek word. They just anglicized it. And it means victory or overcome. Now, why is that important? Well, it shows up four times in the first two verses. Whatever is born of God overcomes, Nike, the world. And this is the victory, Nike, that has overcome, Nike, the world of our faith. But who is the one who overcomes, Nike, the world, if not the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So when you put on your sneakers and go to the gym, you got that little swoosh on, you've got an opportunity to open up a conversation with somebody about the gospel. Because you've got your shirt on, it's got the swoosh or the warm-ups, whatever. Every time you put that on, you've got an opportunity to talk about the gospel. Because it's about overcomers, right? You're not excited about that. Okay, that's great. We'll move on. Okay, normally what I do, if you've been here before when I've spoken, is I'll show you the structural markers and I'll highlight them. I didn't do that this time. I'll do it later on a couple of verses. But here I highlighted the repetition. And the reason I did that is repetition is really important in Bible study. Because repetition is kind of like the teacher, you know, stomping their foot in the front of class saying this is going to be on the test. It's emphatic. Okay, so we look at the repetition. I've got red for God. Blue for overcome, purple for believe or faith, greens testify, same thing on this verse or this screen. So the repetitions are overcome victory four times, faith or belief six times, testify or testimony nine times, spirit three times, God, he, his, 15 times, Jesus Christ, Son, 11 times. So if you back up and look at this, you've got the Trinity in here in this passage very clearly, all three persons of the Godhead. So we'll look at that. We're going to really talk about testify later. But also the structure that's in here, there's several syllogisms, six to be exact. There's a string of repeated words, and there's a declaration. So that's what John does. And I'll explain what a syllogism is if you don't remember. Syllogism is a logic term, and essentially it means if you've got a statement A, it's equal to statement B, and statement B equals statement C, then statement A equals statement C. And the lawyer uses that all the time, right, Mark? You don't use them? Corporate? Yeah, you do. Okay, don't lie to me. But one of the things about a syllogism, you reverse it. If it's true, you can reverse it. And so you can check me on this. We've got six of them coming up, and you can check me on this. Let me give you an example. 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcome the world, our faith. So that's pretty straightforward, but it's also a syllogism. What is born of God overcomes the world. What overcomes the world is our faith. Then what is born of God is our faith. Right? So you see that? This is yes. This is no. This is what in the fat are you talking about? Okay, so let's look at this. This is also something that's said other places in Scripture. Look at John 1:3. All things come into being through him, and apart from him, nothing has come into being that has come into being. Our faith is a thing, right? And it doesn't come into being apart from God. So it's born of God. Paul says the same things in Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. Our faith is in ourselves. It's born of God. There's others. John 5:4b-6. This is a victory that's overcome the world, our faith. But who is the one who overcomes the world, if not the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. But the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. So A is our faith overcomes the world. We've seen that already. Overcomes the world equals believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Our faith is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So in 4, he tells us that our faith overcomes the world. And in 5 through the end of 13, he's telling us what our faith is like. He tells us the elements that build our faith. So this is called, is this a general statement? And these are the specifics of how our faith, what our faith looks like. And he does that, and that's a figure, or it's a structure called particularization. If it was flipped around, he would give us the pieces first and then summarize it, it'd be called generalization. But that's what he's doing here. He's reinforcing what he says with the syllogisms inside. Okay, so then I got to come to this passage, and I just got lost. You ever get lost in Bible study? Run into a passage and you just, no, never did. We'll talk later. You can tell me how. But so I get to a passage sometimes, I'm like, what's going on here? And I see all this repetition, testify. So I figure it's about testifying, but how does it put together? So what I typically do when I run across something like this is I rearrange the text so that I can understand it more effectively. So what I did, I'll show you what I did. But the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth, because there are three that testify and the three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, because the testimony of God is this, that he testified concerning his Son. The one who believes the Son of God has the testimony in himself. He has not believed the testimony that God has given concerning his Son, and concerning his Son is repeated. So it's beginning to look like this whole thing, this testimony is about his Son. And then he says, the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So he's validated it is about his Son. So we got the Spirit is the one who testifies, and then where does it say God has testified? And it says that God has testified. Oh, see, somebody did that. I lost it. Oh, yeah. He's testified, God is this, God has testified of concerning his Son. So the Spirit testifies the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That helped me figure out how to put that together. It's also another syllogism. But the Spirit testifies that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, is the testimony of God. So the Spirit testifies the testimony of God. So the two are in sequence. They're together, God and the Spirit. And then we come to this verse, and I got really wrapped up on this one, because we see the three. There are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. I know what this is from the last section, but what in the heck is the testimony of men? And one of the problems with this is that the verse is not set up the way we expect it. Because normally, it's got three ands, and normally you'd have commas there, right? You would expect to see the Spirit, comma, the water, comma, the blood, comma, and the three are in agreement. That's grammatical. That's what you're taught to write, right? Yes? Okay. But there are two figures of speech that break this pattern. One of them takes out the and completely. And it says, the Spirit, the water, the blood, the three are in agreement. And it says, when that happens, what the author is telling you to do is skip through these three and get to the point. That's the idea behind it. So you read the Spirit, the water, the blood, and the focus is the three are in agreement. But that's not what we have here. What we've got is three ands. And when that happens in the text, he's telling you to stop at the Spirit, stop at the water, stop at the blood, and stop at the three are in agreement. To look at each individually and think through them and ponder that. And when you do that, One of the things I came up with is another passage. One of the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. So we think through what helps us understand what the Bible is saying. So when you think about water and blood, John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water," it didn't work, "and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, I've got four kids, and I was present at the birth of all four of them. There's water and blood involved in natural birth. You know, I see women shaking their head, yes. So there's water and blood when we have a birth, okay? The next one, John 1:31-34, "I did not recognize him so that he might be manifested to Israel. I came baptizing in water. John testified saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Spirit of God." So we're baptized with what? Water. We can see that. He was born of water and blood. He was baptized in water. And we've seen that when we have a baptistry here, or when we did it outside, we saw people go underwater and come out. And then lastly, he was crucified. John 19:34, "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." So he's born of water and blood. He's baptized in water. And when he dies, they put a spear in his side, and out comes blood and water. So man can see and testify about a birth. I can see my children came out with water and blood. When they were baptized, and I baptized three of them, you can see the water and testify about that. And man can see and testify about a crucifixion. Water and blood comes out. So it looks like the testimony of man is water and blood. So man cannot see or testify about seeing the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who testifies in 6b. The testimony of God that he has given us eternal life. The testimony of the Spirit is the same as God's. We've seen that. And the testimony of God's is greater. The testimony of the Spirit is greater. So the testimony of God equals the testimony of the Spirit. But the Spirit is the one who testifies. We've got two structural markers here: but, contrast, and because, substantiation. So the but is in contrast to the water and the blood. The contrast and substantiation emphasize that the Spirit's testimony is what's important in the passage. Does that make sense? And this is important to us for three reasons. First, we weren't present at Jesus' birth. We didn't see it. We read about it, but we didn't see it. We weren't present at Jesus' baptism. We've read about it, but we didn't see it. We weren't present at his crucifixion. We read about it, but we didn't see it. But if we believe Jesus is the Son of God, we have the Spirit. Romans 8:9. "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him." So we have the testimony of God in us. It tells us what Jesus did, gives us the testimony that we have eternal life. So the one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. So the testimony in oneself is that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, is the Spirit is the one who testifies to this. The testimony in oneself, the Spirit is the one who testifies. So we have the testimony in ourselves, like it says in Romans 8:9, which we just looked at. But also Romans 8:16, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." We have the testimony in ourselves because the Spirit is in us. Make sense? Okay. Moving on, the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You as a son has a life. The testimony in oneself is God has given us eternal life. God has given us eternal life is who the Son who has a son has the life. The testimony in oneself is who has a son has a life. We have the son in ourselves. Because it says in Colossians 1:26-27, which supports this passage, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have the Spirit in us. We have the Son in us. It's good news. So keep going on to 5:11-13, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has a Son has a life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have a life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may have eternal life. That's a declaration. So he's given us 6 syllogisms. He's given us a string of testimony string, and he's given us a declaration. So let's look at the last part of each of those syllogisms and look what it says to us. Our faith is born of God. Our faith is to believe Jesus is the Son of God. The Spirit testifies the testimony of God. The testimony is in us because the Spirit is the one who testifies. The testimony in us is that he who has the Son has the life. If we believe in the Son of God, we have the Son. And then we believe in the same of the Son of God, we have eternal life. So the bottom line, see what I did there? The bottom line, nobody got it. Okay, you got it. Okay, the bottom line is you believe in the name of the Son of God, you know that you have eternal life. That's good news. Now, if you've never believed in Jesus Christ before today, you can do that now. It's not complicated. You just believe. And you can do that where you sit. And if you do that, you need to tell me or one of the staff, one of the other pastors or at the visitor center, and we'll help you with some next steps in this new adventure. Or if you have some questions about this, you still don't quite get it, which is okay, tell me or tell one of the people at the desk, and we'll help you come up with some answers. Now, if you already believe in the name of the Son of God, then we need to consider this testimony word. Well, we've seen that you have the Spirit bearing testimony in you. That testimony is that you have eternal life, and that testimony gives you assurance of eternal life. You can know. We can know that we have eternal life, and that's the Spirit that's telling us that. So what do we do with that? Based on what we saw in 1 John 1, John said it wasn't enough for him to know that he had know Jesus. He had to tell us other people about it because that gave him great joy. So if we know we have eternal life, we need to share that with others. It's what, if you think about what Joel said in Peter, 1 Peter 2:21 and following, that we proclaim what we know, we proclaim Jesus. That word is really what we're talking about. It's a testimony. So it's really interesting. We didn't coordinate that this morning, but somehow God did. He talked about proclaiming, and that's exactly what we're talking about, proclaiming God through your testimony. We know we have eternal life. We need to share that with others. One way to do that is by sharing our testimony. Well, how do you do that? How do you share your testimony? You don't have to tell me. So there's some models of testimonies in the Bible we can look at. One of them is in John 9. I really like this passage. It's about the man who's born blind from birth. Remember that? And Jesus heals him. And he's asked a whole bunch of questions in John 9 by the Pharisees and by other people. And a lot of his answers were, I don't know. But all I do know is I was born blind and now I see. That was his testimony. And he kept getting asked the same question. The more times he got asked that question, he learned more because people were asking him about what about his testimony. So that's a really good model. I recommend spending some time in John 9. It's worth your time. Acts 26, Paul testifies before Agrippa. Y'all remember that passage? And he uses an outline. It's really simple. He talks about what it was like before he was a Christian. He was trying to kill Christians. He talked about how he came to Christ. And then he talked about what he was like after he became a Christian, which is trying to build up Christians. So before, how, and after. That's what that was his model. And he did the same thing in Philippians 3. In Paul's testimony to Philippian believers follows exactly that same pattern, before, how, and after. So, some ways to get help. If you don't know how to do this, you can ask me. I'd be more than happy to help you to come up with your own testimony. I'll show you how to do that. Or if you're in a small group, ask your small group leader, how do I do this? How can I be more effective in sharing my testimony? Or if you're in a Bible study here at church, men's, saying men and women together, you come up with women's. That didn't work. Men's Bible study or woman's Bible study, ask the Bible study leader to help you. And they can help you come up with your better testimony or your testimony. Or ask one of the other pastors or one of the elders or one of the staff or the people at the desk. Just ask. Ask for help if you don't know how to do it. And we'll help you. Okay. So this is the time for you to search for that white connection card that you came in and sat on. Remember? Everybody should be looking for that now. I don't see movement. Find that thing. And we're going to talk about next steps. I've got mine. And we're going to fill them out together in a second. The first one, I don't know for sure I have eternal life. I will ask somebody this week how to grow in this area. And it's okay. If you're here and you don't know that for sure, that's great. That's what we're here for, is to help you with that. Secondly, I know I do have eternal life. I will share with someone this week on how they can know as well. That's basically proclaiming like Peter did in 1 Peter 2 that Joel referred to, and what we're talking about in terms of testimony. You share a testimony. I know I have eternal life, but I'm not sure how to share that with another. I will ask someone how this week. And that's the third one. And the fourth one, I will invest time making as many observations as I can on 1 John 5:20 this week. Same thing we've given you every week. This is Eric's key verse next week. Look at that, and it'll set you up for what Eric's going to share next week. So those are the four. I don't know for sure. I do know, and I'm going to share it. I know it. I need help learning how to share it, and I'm going to invest time on 1 John 5:20. This QR code will take you to the notes and the study I did in preparation for this message, and that QR code will take you to the connection card if you need one to help, need help filling it out. So let's get those out together, and we'll fill them out together in a few minutes. The men will come and pick those up for us. Let's go ahead and fill those out. You guys can play if you don't want to in the background or not. Not going to sleep. That was really appreciate that. I love you guys. If you have any questions about this, I'll be out front.